Today I'm in a single sermon, and it's more of, I used this analogy last week. My family growing up, when I was a kid, we didn't have a whole lot of money, so we'd go to these stores back when they used to put paper on the canned goods. And those paper would, that paper would come off. And so you don't know what's in that can. So they'd sell them for like, I don't know, 5-10 cents each. And so my parents would go get that. But, you know, which is great, but you don't know what you're having for dinner. I mean, it could be beets. It could be green beans. It could be peaches, you know. And so you just don't know until, you know, you open it and we're good. That's kind of like what we're in right now. You just don't know. I don't know what I'm going to preach next week. Yeah, I don't. Because I just rely on the Lord just to tell me in my time. And it's like, okay, this is what I feel like the Lord's telling me to preach on. So today, in this single sermon, this is simply called Dying to Change. Dying to Change. I've had many people over the years who've asked me questions like, how do I keep the change in my life after inviting Jesus to be Lord and Savior? Like, how do I keep that? Another way to phrase that, another question could be, how do I know if I'm growing in my faith? So those are legitimate questions. And it's almost like, you know, when you're a kid, I don't know, you may have done this. We did this, I think, a little bit with our kids, and we just moved too much. But, you know, if you grew up in the same house, you know, your mom or your dad would put you up against the doorpost, and they'd mark it and then put the date and, you know, your name and everything. We just had too many kids that it would just cover up our whole door and thing, you know, and whatever. But you have, you know, example like that where you can go and see at this date, I was this height, and it's cool to just kind of see that. But what do we do? How do we do that with our Christian faith? Well, before we can keep the change that Christ has given to us, okay, before we can keep that, when I say keep, I don't mean you're going to lose your salvation. Okay, when you have accepted Christ as Savior, God is working on you. Now your walk may look like this. There'll be some stumbling and some valleys and some mountains and great times, but the goal is for you to just kind of, all of us, is to kind of keep going up. So how do we keep the change in our life? Well, you want to make sure that you have the change to make sure it's happened. So how do you know that the change has taken place? Well, you are slowly drawn away from the sinful desires of life and into a life of righteousness. The reason you're able to keep the change or have the change is because of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes inside you, your thoughts, your actions, your beliefs align with the Word of God and the heart of God. So when you accept Christ, you're not made perfect, meaning in your actions. Now, you're made perfect in the sight of God. You're sinless because of the sacrifice of Jesus, but you're not made perfect, but rather you're made new. You are new. You have a new way of looking at life, a new set of thoughts, a new way of treating people, a new way of approaching God. Your life is aligned with God through a heart of gratitude and love towards the mercy and love He has shown you as well. It's real similar with a parent and a child. If a child sees and feels the love of a parent, then they are going to want to follow in obedience and respect. In order to keep the change, a change must take place. So, but let me make sure you understand this. It doesn't take us making a change in our life in order to start the journey of following Christ. So in other words, we make the choice to follow Christ, and Jesus makes the change. Are you following me? So you're not like, oh, I got to live a better life. I got to do this. I mean, that's works. That's not faith. Okay. That's you living by works. You making yourself do good and obey. Okay. You're not going to be able to withstand that. You're not going to be able to sustain that. Okay. And so, but you and I, when we make the choice to follow Jesus, He can make the change. Jesus makes the change. So, The analogy I want us to use today is this branch. Now, I actually got this branch from my front yard. I picked one out yesterday when we went to go visit Madison and Michael, her first baby shower, grandbaby one, number one coming January. And so I broke off a really bright red branch in North Carolina, and I got and put it in my truck, and it was like all shriveled up, and it's not good. So, but this one, what I love about this one, out of my front yard, it's got some beauty here, but like you also have like this green one here is slowly but surely changing. It's so beautiful. I mean, the fall is amazing. We were driving up to the Great Smoky Mountains, you know, in North Carolina. I was like, man, it's incredible. It's so beautiful. But you know why these leaves are beautiful? Because they're dying. They are. These leaves are dying. And eventually they're going to break off and they're going to fall to the ground. And so this right here is sort of a picture of us. Because if you want to keep the change, and if you want to know that you're growing in your faith and that you're changing, then just like these leaves, you have to die. Your faith and your Christian life is made more beautiful when you choose to die. So, well, Pastor Frank, I'm not following you on this. I mean, I got to die? What I mean is this. You have to die to self. You have to die to your own desires. And when the more that you lay down your own desires, and the more that you're able to die to self, then the more beautiful you become. Just like the leaves around us. And what a great season it is to talk about that and the change. And every time you see the beautiful leaves, you can say, I want to be like that. I want to be beautiful. I want my walk with Jesus to be beautiful. The fact is, if you're not dying, then you're not changing. If you're not dying, then you're not changing. This idea of dying to self, if you can look at Matthew chapter 16, we're going to be in several different passages, but Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Dying to self is used as basically it's the same thing as of denying yourself. Denying yourself. We also see this in Galatians 5, 24 through 25. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This passage suggests that we die to self by crucifying our fleshly desires. If you want to keep the change, you know that you're keeping the change or that you are changing and that you're growing in your faith. You need to die. So if you turn to Romans chapter 6, that is our main passage of Scripture. We're going to be in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And we're going to read 1 through 11 right now. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. This is written by the Apostle Paul. And he's a guy that he had a major transformation. He was Saul. He persecuted the Christians. And he was a Pharisee. I mean, he was in the leadership of the teachers of the law. I mean, he had his ticket to leadership and influence and power. But Jesus, on the road to Damascus, got a hold of his heart and his life and turned his life around. And so he knows what it's like to die to self because he's like, man, I used to be Saul. I used to be this guy. Now I'm this guy. Now I'm Paul. And he ends up writing the majority of the New Testament. But look in chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Jesus got a new body. Okay? It represents we get a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body was ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died, he died to sin once and for all. For the life he lives to God. Verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So if you're a believer, then you believe that you died with Christ because you associate with him. You believe in what Lord Jesus did on the cross. You give your life to him. He becomes your Lord and Savior. You ask him to forgive you your sins. You're walking in obedience to him. And through that, your life, it's like your sinful life is you know, dead. It's dying on the cross, just like Jesus did. I mean, kind of an illustration of this is like a sports, you know, team. I like relating things to sports. It's like the team that you schedule your life around. Some of you may have a team that you schedule your life around. You're like, man, if the team's on, there's nothing else that's gonna stop that, right? And some of you have that. Some of you also in the room, like us, we were like, ah, season's done. You know, it doesn't matter. And I mean, we know we have a coach now, an athletic director. You know, it's all good. Life's good, all right? I'm not bitter. But you schedule your life around it. You wear the jerseys. You, like, no one better talk bad about your team, right? Because you are just going to, you know, you're going to tell them what for. But you live your life. I mean, you name your kids after some of the coaches. I know there are people sitting in this room that name their dogs after the coach of your favorite team. And so it's fine. It's good. And so you have your life around your team. And your life is victorious because when your team wins. And when your team loses, it's like, man, the whole world's going to fall apart. You're so associated with your team. You're associated with your team that everything that happens to the team kind of happens to you as well. That's sort of like with Jesus. Sort of like with his, you're associated with Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Your sinful nature died with him. It died with him on the cross. But he rose from the dead. He has new life. And because he has new life, we can have a new life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we see this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So now it doesn't mean that there's no sin in the world, because there is sin in the world. Okay, it just means that the sin that we commit, or the sin that entangles us and trips us up, is that's a sin that died with Jesus on the cross. It means your spiritual life is dead to sin. In other words, the sin cannot separate you from God because you're already, if you accepted Christ as Savior, you're already bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and your sin cannot separate you from God. Now, that doesn't give you, just like Paul was saying at the beginning of Romans chapter 6, it doesn't mean you're just going to keep on sinning. It doesn't matter. You can just keep, you know, going and to the Father and asking forgiveness. And you just intentionally sin all the time. I would even question if you really walk with Jesus and if you really made that choice of salvation with him. But y'all, all of us in this room, we get tripped up from time to time with sin in our life. But that's not going to separate us from Jesus Christ, because sin is dead to us. Sin is dead to us for those who have accepted Jesus. Just like when we die in our natural bodies, we will be forever free from sin. Well, our spiritual bodies are forever free from sin. Our spiritual bodies are forever free from sin. Sin cannot separate us to where we go to hell if we have accepted Christ. Now, if you've not accepted Christ, if you don't believe in Lord Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter if you've sinned once or a million times. You're going straight to hell when you die. We're all going to die. And that's just a fact. But the fact that we can put our hope in Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive us of our sins, then we can walk in victory over sin. We need to, and parents, this would be a good prayer for you to pray over your children, or grandparents, for your children. You need to be praying for your children and just simply say, you know, sin, if they've accepted Christ, sin has no control over them. They should be able to walk in freedom. Sin cannot trip them up to the point to where they are fully separated from God. Now, with that said, can we do some things? I can stand here on the stage and this week I'm just like anybody else. I can commit a major sin in my life, my family's ruined, my church, my calling. We hear it all the time. Absolutely. Sin can wreck us 100%. But what I'm saying is, if you have Christ within you, and if you have died to self, and if you're walking with him, sin cannot affect you to the point to where you're separated from God. And in fact, I believe that sin is around us, just like Jesus in the desert when he was tempted. No, sin cannot touch you. Sin cannot touch me. I can walk in victory and freedom knowing that I've got the blood of Jesus Christ in my life. So I say all that because of this. So many times we live our life, and it happens often. We live our lives and we get tripped up by sin. Y'all, the more that you're in God's word, and the more that you're in fellowship with believers, and the more that you pray, then the more that your spiritual life is, I mean, the demons, the demonic, I mean, the evil, it's gonna get away from you. You can walk in victory and freedom to say, no, in the name of Jesus, you can't be here. In the name of Jesus, you cannot have control over my children, my grandchildren, my family, our church. In the name of Jesus, we're going to keep walking. Not because we're so spiritual giant, but all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So, church, if you've accepted Jesus, I ask you, just, you need to walk in boldness. You need to walk in boldness and say, sin has no control on me in the name of Jesus. It's like your life is invisible to sin. Your life is invisible to sin. One way, there's a movie that kind of illustrates this. Lincoln and I, my son, we were watching a couple of weeks ago, World War Z, Brad Pitt, you may have seen this. The zombie movie where people who have been hit, who have been bit by zombies search for other people who have been bit. And I mean, it's crazy. It's a very intense movie. But this, I mean, it's a little spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. The character played by Brad Pitt realizes that these zombies don't attack people who are dying, because they would not make a good host for being bit. And he watched while these zombie people passed over people who had terminal illness as if they were invisible. So he goes to this remote in another country, this remote health organization, and he's able to get in, and he injects himself with a terminal disease in which he can give himself another shot and there's a cure for it. So he injects himself in a terminal disease, and just to prove it, but the only way to prove it was to face what the zombies would or would not do. After the disease settles in his body, he tries his theory on some zombies. Now I'm going to show you this video clip. We're close enough to Halloween. But here's what I want you to do. What I want you to do is realize this. The people that are the zombies, they represent sin in your life. They represent sin in your life. And I want you to see, in with this analogy, the serum that he puts in, the disease that he puts in his body to make him terminally, to make him die, is basically the blood of Jesus Christ, which makes us invisible. And just like Brad Pitt in this movie, you'll see how effective that is. Let's watch.
Right past them. Like there was nobody.
So pretty intense. So the sin that once to affect your life. If you've been bought with the blood of Jesus, if you've accepted Him as Savior, you need to walk in your life and just say, sin, you have no authority over me. You have no authority over my marriage. You have no authority over our relationships. You have no authority over our family, my church. You have no authority of that. And so I just think that right there is an incredible portrayal of what sin tries to do in our life. But we've got to inject ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ. And thanks to Brad Pitt, he showed us that. You're welcome, ladies. Brad Pitt came to church today. So just like we are associated with Jesus through his death, we can also be associated with Jesus through his resurrection. You are free from sin. If you get just one thing from today, make sure you understand this. Romans 6:7, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. You need to wake up each day saying, I am free from sin. I am free from sin. If you mess up, don't let the enemy condemn you, because Jesus will never condemn you. Jesus will never shame you. He will convict you. There's a big difference with being convicted or have walk in conviction or walking in condemnation or walking in shame. Jesus never, the Holy Spirit never shames you, never condemns you, convicts you to make yourself right? Absolutely. But but anyone who has died has been set free from sin. We can walk in freedom and a victory over sin because we died with Christ. And we also live like Christ, who've been raised to new life. So count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. So how can we walk in freedom? Look at verse, same chapter, Romans 6, verse 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. So we see in verse 12 that sin should not have any reign or authority in our life. If sin is ruling over your life, then you aren't dying. You have to be a leaf, like one of these autumn leaves. You have to die to self and what you want. If you aren't dying, then you aren't changing. You're not growing. So what sins do you know need to be uprooted from your life? You and God know that. You and God know that. So Paul shares this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. These are just a few. Sexual immorality. Now, sexual immorality, man, it covers a lot of things. Adultery, pornography, homosexuality, transgender. A lot of stuff. Sexual immorality. Impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things, such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You cannot let this stuff hang around. It will bring you down. This stuff that's hanging around your life, you got to do whatever it takes to get it out. One of the great ways to do that is asking other people to pray for you. Those who are married, pray with your spouse. Good chance your spouse has already been praying for you. And fasting. Have some, I mean, when you fast, it's like a booster shot. Man, it's just like, man, it just takes whatever the Spirit is in you, and it just gives you so much power and abilities. Sometimes it's good to just fast and say, you know what? I want to do this. I enjoy this. I really like eating that. I'm just going to put off to the side a little bit for a few days, and I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to die to sinful nature, to my own desires. I'm going to die to self, and I'm going to be raised in new life with Jesus Christ. So we can't let those things linger. And you know what those are. I don't. I know what mine are. My wife probably knows what mine. but you and I, we just need to make sure we do not allow those things to linger. So we need to end the reign of sin in our life. We also need to offer ourselves to God. Stop offering your body and life on the altar of sin. Don't let sin tell you how to live. Don't let sin tell you how to live. Even errands that you run that, you know, just you might need to change your habits. You might need to change, you know, things. You might need to not have your phone with you all the time. You might need to just take a break from that. Or just whatever. You just need to change some habits. If you offer yourselves to God, then there won't be much left to offer to sin. Isn't that just a simple statement? If you offer yourselves to God, the more that you offer yourselves to God, then there won't be hardly any other thing that you can offer to sin. We sing a song about that. More of you, Jesus, less of me. More of you, Jesus, less of me. The more that you have of Jesus, the less that you're going to want to fall into those sinful acts. And a lot of those things happen in your mind. Be able to capture those thoughts and bind them. I mean, this week, yesterday, I mean, this happens all the time. In my mind, it's like, I think of something. That, you know, maybe it's a worry or like, I just don't know this. Or maybe it's something else. And I'm like, oh, hold on. No, I got to bind that. You have no authority to be in my head right now in the name of Jesus. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, you have the power and the ability to talk like that. You do. You can, just like Brad Pitt, you can walk right through it. You can, don't touch this. You can't. You need to get out of my head. Your standard of living should match what's in Romans 12, 1 and 2, which I've shared this verse many, many times, one of my favorites. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Gosh, there's a promise in there. Such a powerful promise. In view of God's mercy. And that leads us to the final thing I'm going to say. We need to walk in grace. We need to walk in grace. You're going to mess up. You will. You probably mess up this week. We all do. Sin will keep coming at your door. It may come in from time to time. But here's what we got to do. We got to confess that sin. Lord, I'm sorry I said this to that person. Or I'm sorry I was in anger to this person, or I'm sorry, whatever that is. You need to confess it. Repent. Repent literally means to turn the other way. Because if you confess and you're still walking in that same direction of wanting to talk to people a certain way, you're not growing. You're not dying. And if you're not dying to self, you're not being made beautiful with your walk with Jesus. That's how people see. That's how people notice with your life. They say, hey, there's something beautiful about you. What's going on? So that's one of the best ways that people understand, man, there's something different about you. So confess that, turn the other way, and don't go down that road again. Repent. And then we need to walk in grace. Walk in grace. And to understand that it's going to take some time for your life to be beautiful. Maybe you're kind of like this green leaf. Man, you're trying to get there. You're trying to get there. You're not all the way there yet, right? And we're never fully arrived until we're in heaven. But, man, you want to be made beautiful. You need to die to self. The Christian life is not about turning over a new leaf. It's about receiving a new life. It's not about turning over a new leaf. Jesus does that. It's about receiving a new life. And Jesus wants to give you so much life. Don't allow sin to get the best of you. You have the blood of Jesus inside of you. You need to walk with boldness and say, sin, get out of my way. Not today. Not today. It's a daily thing. Not today. And that's how we need to walk. I just want to encourage you. You want to change? You want to see the change in your life? What are some things that need to die that you need to nail to the cross? Every head bowed, every eye closed as I close out this service. Man, there might be people here today. We have several guests, and I'm so glad you could be here today. Maybe guests watching online. We're getting more people doing that. And we're honored that you're watching or listening. But maybe you're here today or listening later. You're just like, you know, I keep trying. I need to make some change. Well, you need to first make sure that a change has happened. That you've accepted Jesus. So if you're sitting here today or watching online, if you've never crossed that line of faith, just say, Jesus, I'm ready for a new life. I need your help. You can just say this prayer. Just repeat after me. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I confess my sin to you. Please forgive me. Please come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And if you're here today and you have accepted Christ and you're trying to walk that life, just I want you to recommit to him. If you're just keep hitting a brick wall, a brick wall, a brick wall, just recommit to him. Lord, I'm sorry I haven't been in your word. I'm sorry I haven't been in prayer. I'm sorry. Please help me. Please help me to be drawn to you. Please give me the ability, the power, the strength. Fill me up with all that you are and less of me. In Jesus' name, amen.